The ninth chapter of the book of Acts, and let us start reading at verse number 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, and the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Let us pray. Father, once again, thanking you for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you, Father, for the word of God. It's your precious word. And Father, I thank you, you have preserved it for us, that we can even read it here tonight and study it tonight and be helped by it tonight. Thank you, Father, for those who come to this place this evening. And I pray, Father, that you'll take the word of God, use this for preacher. Help him, Father, empower him to preach what you want him to preach. And then, Lord, help us to be helped by it. And, Lord, to magnify your name always and to be better for you than we've ever been before. Thank you now. In the lovely, precious, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'm going to preach a message which I have simply entitled, Ananias, a Special Servant. Ananias, a special servant. We have here the story of a man called Ananias, and he's connected with the Apostle Paul. Their lives met for just a little while here. I don't know whether after that they spent any time together. I have no way to know that. All I know is for just a little while, their lives were entwined with one another. And I believe many times you can take a servant like Ananias. We hear about the Pauls and the Peters and all of these kind of wonderful servants. But I think you can take a servant like Ananias and learn so much from him. And basically, that's what I want to do tonight. I just want us to learn from Ananias. What kind of a servant was he? What did he do that we ought to do? And I hope tonight it'll be a help, it'll be a blessing to you. And for as I know, as I said, there's only one meeting that Paul and him had. That's all I know of anyone. It was not a lengthy thing. It was a very short period of time, as far as I know. But Ananias done what God asked him to do. It may have been that that's one of the main reasons that God made Ananias for. I don't know. But I do know this. He was obedient. He was faithful to do exactly what God had asked him to do. I'm going to turn over to the book of Acts. Hold your place in chapter 9 and over in chapter 22 for just a few moments and read a few verses there. Verse 12. Well, it's the same story, but says a little bit different. He says in verse 12, And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law. That's in chapter 22, verse 12. According to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee, and thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now thou tarriest thou, arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. This again is an account that Paul is recounting as he gives his testimony, and he tells us a few other things in that portion of Scripture concerning Ananias. He's a man that had some character. He's a man that was a godly man, as we're going to see. There's two other Ananiases in the Bible, and they weren't quite as had the character as this Ananias did. You remember Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias lied about his giving, you remember, and God killed him, if you remember, just to make it plain. God just killed him. And then also there was over in, I think it's the 23rd chapter of Acts, I think we find the other Ananias, which was a high priest. He's the one that ordered that Paul be slapped across the face because of what Paul had said. So there was two Ananiases. This Ananias is a different one, and he certainly had some character about him. And we want to look at some things that will help us. We want to learn from a man called Ananias. As I've studied for this, I have learned of what God would want of people like Ananias and people like ourselves. In verse number 10, you'll notice in chapter 9, and there was certain disciples at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here. If you'll notice here, he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was called a disciple. It's a marvelous thing to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a worker, to be a servant for the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be a disciple. And Ananias was presented here as a disciple. He was a disciple in times when it was not easy to be a disciple. It was difficult. It was hard. There was much persecution against the church. But he was a disciple. I can tell you one thing. He was not what is referred to today as a Sunday morning Christian. He was more than that. He was a man who walked with God, as we see through these scriptures. And I say to you, and I've said it, of course, over and over. You've heard it too. You've said it yourself. But I want to tell you something. We need to walk with Christ. No, we're living in a day when we need to walk with Christ. And we need to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of that. It was a known fact here that he was a disciple. I don't know whether you do or not, but I want people to know that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want people to know that. I want them to know that that's who I serve. Amen. Amen. And Ananias was that kind of individual. Now over in chapter 22, if you've lost your place there, I'll just read a verse of scripture. He says, And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt therein. We find that he was a devout man according to the law. Now Ananias was not someone, he was not a legalist. He was not saying everybody has to follow the law to get saved. What he was saying is his life was run by the law of God. He believed in the law of God. I believe in the law of God, don't you? I still believe in the Ten Commandments. Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? I believe they're still good. I still believe we ought to follow them. I don't know. We don't get saved that way. But I believe we ought to follow the Ten Commandments. I don't believe we ought to bring false accusations against our neighbor. Do you? No, I don't believe we all do this. See, I believe the law of God is right and proper and good. Amen. And Ananias ruled his and measured his life by the law of God, you see. Not only that, it says in that verse of scripture that he was a man who had a good report. Ananias was a man that God could reach down and say, I want to use you. You know why? He had a good report. I believe it's one of the great needs today is Christians to have a good report. Don't you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, you see. I think it's something that is so needed today. We ought to have our lives cleaned up. You understand what I'm saying? We ought to live right. Have no reason not to do that. And we ought to have a good report of those without. Amen? I know people are going to persecute us. I know all those things. But folks, the folk out there ought not to be able to say anything true about us that would be contrary to what good living is about. They ought not to be able to call you a thief or me a thief. Amen? You see, I believe that. And I believe it's one of the great things that's needed in Christianity today. The other day, I think it was David said something to me. He said, "Well, Dad, I know you wouldn't do this." And it was about a deal that you could do something and just say I did this and you could get this, okay? He said, "I know you wouldn't do that." Well, thank God he knew I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to do anything illegal. I want to have a good report. I'm not going to tell you the whole story because it's not important. But he just said to me, he said, "I know you wouldn't do that." I said to myself, I'm thankful that he knew I wouldn't do that. You see, it's right. You see, we don't want to ever go against things that would be dishonest and be dishonest with folk. We don't want to do that. Amen. So Ananias was a person who had good report from without. Amen. You walk downtown, you say, "How about Ananias?" Well, they may not liked his religion, but they liked his living. See, they liked his living. And I believe with all of my heart that we need to get back in Christianity. That's what we need. We need to live right. Amen. And I believe it's so important. We've got a lot of hard workers around here. No, I'm serious, we do. Got men who just work. They just go out, work a job. And I just have to believe something. I believe we're supposed to go out and work a job. We're supposed to work a full day's pay. You get a full day's pay, you're supposed to work a full day. You still believe those things? I still believe those things, you see. And I believe that's the kind of the people we ought to be. I would never want to be caught downtown buying a lottery ticket. Amen. That'd be a shame. Shame to me. See, I wouldn't want to, see. And I don't know if anybody's out there saying, "Woe is me," or not. But I'm just saying, I don't want anything to do with the lottery. I don't want to buy a lottery ticket. I don't want their money. Oh, Brother Ross, I don't want their money. God gives me everything I need. And I wouldn't want to be caught somewhere buying a lottery ticket. I remember I saw a lady that went to church. She didn't go to church here. And I walked in behind her and stood in line. She's buying a lottery ticket. I said, "God, thank you for sending me today. This was good." And she turned around and saw me and just about died. She didn't know what to do. She stammered and stuttered, and I just grinned at her. I didn't know, you know. God's seen every one that she buys. Amen? You see, so, but anyway, she really got upset, you see. But I'm saying I wouldn't want ever anybody see me buy a lottery ticket. I don't need a lottery ticket. You understand what I'm saying? And just saying to you, I don't want people to hear me. I would not ever want people to hear me, the wrong kind of speech come out of my mouth. I just wouldn't want that. I want them to know that my speech is proper and right, you see, and I would not curse. Amen. Used to do those things, but when you accept Christ, you quit doing those things. You understand what I'm saying? God's people needs to be different. Ananias was a man who had a good report. And I believe we ought to have a good report. Amen. See, Ananias was that. I'm learning from Ananias. God said, "I want to use you, Ananias." And God said, "This man had a good report. He was devout. He was a good man." Amen. That's the kind of men God uses. You understand me? Amen. So we find in verse number 10 and 12, in chapter 9, he says, and I'll read that, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Behold, I am here, Lord.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight.'" The call of Ananias to do a job for God. I think about it, there's all kinds of jobs to be done. all kinds of jobs, not just standing behind a pulpit, not just preaching, all kinds of jobs here. That God did not call Ananias here to be a preacher. He called him to go do a job for him. You see, and if you notice, he was ready. Said in verse 10, he says, "Behold, I'm here." You see, that's one of the most important things in the world, that we be ready when God calls us. See, God's got something he wants done tomorrow. I don't know what it is, but more than likely, some of us folk in this church, he's got an appointment for us. Did you ever think about that? You know God's got an appointment for you tomorrow? I know you've got all your plans and what you're going to do and all that, but did you know God's more than likely got an appointment for you, something he needs done tomorrow? And don't you think we ought to be just like Ananias? He said, "Here I am. I'm ready, you see. When God opens the door, I'm ready." I really believe with all my heart, God's got some things tomorrow for us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do individually. I believe that. I believe that. I think he's got some things that he wants done. And I think he's going to be calling on some of us this week to do some things. You believe that? You see, I believe that. And so you found a man by the name of Ananias. He was ready. Don't you think we always ought to be ready? I know Pastor Jerry was talking the other night when he was talking about preaching, and he was talking about he always tried to be ready to preach back in college. Whenever they asked him, he was just ready. I want to tell you, I think whether it's preaching or whatever it is, we ought to just be ready. Amen. Oh, just be ready. God's going to call upon you to do something, and we ought to be ready. So he told him basically three things. First of all, in verse number 11, he said, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul or Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." First thing he told him was where to go. He said, "I've got a place for I want you to go." And it's, you know, I remember Mrs. Evans. That's the preacher I got saved under, Brother Evans. And Mrs. Evans was always talking to the kids, you know, and she always teaching the kids. And she'd say, "What's the only street in the Bible?" I remember her saying that. She'd say, "What's the only street in the Bible?" You know, and these kids would say, "Straight Street." Amen. I can still remember that, you know. She was always talking about the Straight Street. God said to him, he said, "I want to tell you where I want you to go. I want you to go down to Straight Street." That's pretty definite. Even I would suppose there was a sign up there that said Straight. I don't know. But anyway, he knew where Straight Street was. And God said where he was supposed to go. Amen. First thing he told him is exactly where he was supposed to go. Did you know that God will make the place of service plain to you? Did you know that? Yes, he will. You think God's going to say, "I want you to go do something, but I don't know where. I'm not going to tell you where." God doesn't do that. No, God says, "I want you to go down to Straight Street." See, that's the way God does this. God, if you listen to God this week, he's got some place for you to go. Something for you to do. Yes, he does. You see, and he'll make it plain where he wants you to go. And I tell you the truth, I'm sure to Ananias, it didn't seem like a very important place. Straight Street. Who ever heard of Straight Street? That's like going down to Sycamore Street. Where's Straight Street at? That isn't a very important place. Doesn't make a difference how important it is. It's that God's got a job for you. See, I learned from this. I thought to myself, yes, God, you've got some places you may want me to go. May not be very important. Amen. May not be very important, but you've got a place, and you will tell me where it is you want me to go. It may just be for a short period of time, like Ananias. It just may be he wants you to go by somebody's house and visit them. It just may be he might want you to pick that phone up and call them for the right reason. Use that old phone for good reason. Amen. And it may be God wants you to do that. I don't know what God wants you to do, but I know God's got a job that he wants done. And he's looking for folk like Ananias, faithful folk like Ananias, that he can use. People who are ready to be used, you see. Now, next, you notice in verse number 11, he told him who he wanted him to see. said, go to the house of Judas, but that's not who I'm wanting you to see. He said, I want you to see Saul of Tarsus. Told him what house to go to, where to inquire for him, and who he wanted him to see. Now listen, folk, God leaves things plain and definite. He doesn't just say, okay, I've got somebody I want you to witness to out there somewhere. Just go out and find him. No, he says, he puts that on your mind. Has God ever done that to you? Has God ever laid people on your heart and say, I want you to go see so-and-so. I want you to talk to them, you see. Has he ever done that? God does that all the time. He makes it plain what he wants us to do. You understand what I'm saying? You see, he didn't just leave it up to Ananias to guess. He told him where to go, and he told him who to see. And if you know the truth of it, I think probably the one whom he told him to go see is the probably last person on the earth that he wanted to see. Have you ever been there? Boy, there's been times God said to me, you know, go see so-and-so. I say, God, it ain't going to do any good. That person is a rascal, don't want to hear anything I've got to say. Every time I go, gives me a hard time. God says, why don't you go see so-and-so? See, what we got to learn is we got to mind God. See, God knows what's best, you see. So he tells us not only where to go, he tells us whom we need to see. Do you know it takes somewhat of some courage to serve God? This man been killing saints, taking them to prison. You know, and here you're telling me, God, you want me to go see him? Amen. Yeah, just pack up and go. Whenever God says that to you, just pack up and go, okay? Might be somewhere where you work, might be your neighbor, might be somebody else. I don't know who it is. But I want to tell you, if you'll mind God, he'll open up doors for you. I want to tell you something. I remember, and I think back on this, about old Brother Lee over there that got saved. I went to the hospital not even knowing he was in the hospital. I went to see somebody else. Somebody asked me to stop and see somebody else, and when I got there, they wasn't even there. God sent a man out that knew me and knew Brother Lee and said, did you know? He wasn't brother then, but did you know Mr. Lee's in the hospital? I said, no, is he in here? He said, yeah, he's in here. I said, well, I'll go find out where he's at and go see him. And it was the very day that he got saved. Now, you got to learn to mind God. If God says to go somewhere, you go. Amen. You go see the person that God wants you to see. And not only that, he told him in verse number 12, he says, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Not only did he tell him where to go and whom to see, he told him what to do. He said, I want you to go and I want you to restore Saul's sight. Amen. That's what he said. He said, that's what I want you to do. Now listen, folk, no matter how hard the task, that was a difficult one. But no matter how hard the task, God has a way for us. God has the power for us to go do whatever God asks us to do. And Ananias was a faithful man who followed and obeyed the word of God. See, I've learned from Ananias. I said, that's what I ought to do, God. When you tell me, I ought to just move. No matter any difference what it is, I'll just go. Amen. I'll go exactly where you tell me to go. Or to see whom you tell me to see. You see, and I want to do exactly what you've told me to do. Amen. That's the kind of person that Ananias was. And I like also the fact that God encourages those whom he uses. I've always found that God has done things for me to encourage me, to get me ready to do the job that he wants for me to do. He knows we're feeble. You ever do that? I've went to see people where all the time I was going on the way going there, I beg God. I say, God help me. I can't go see this person. I mean, I'll go see him, Lord, but I ain't doing nothing going to happen. That's faith. That's really faith. Amen. I'm giving you an example of faith tonight. Amen. And I just, commune with God and talk to God and talk to him about the foolishness of it. But then we just get down to the fact, we just say, God, if that's what you want, then we'll go. You understand what I'm saying? So he encouraged him. And here's what he said in verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. Oh boy, for behold, he prayeth. Thank God he's praying. And God said, he's down there praying, Paul. It's all right. Amen. It's all right. He's down there praying. Everything's okay. See, he encouraged Saul, I call him Paul, and in the things of the Lord. He's told him he was praying. Not only that, in verse number 12, God had already told Paul he was coming. In verse number 12, he says, And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I found out in working for the Lord, you always know that God works on both ends of the problem. Oh, he always does. He's working on your end, but he's always working on the other end. He's always preparing the other end. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't have to worry about what, is God going to take care of this? No, you don't have to worry about it. God's already working on the other end. See, he had worked on Saul's life here to know that he was coming, and he had already seen in a vision there was someone going to come and visit him. Amen? So anyway, God encourages his people. Another thing he told him was, he said he's blind. And I'm sure Ananias said, praise God. Surely a blind man can't do too much to hurt me. I can get away from him. And I think it was encouraging. You see, God encourages in the work. You see, he don't leave you helpless. Just follow him, folks. Just keep walking with God. And being willing to be used with God. Will you do that? I want to challenge you, in all seriousness, I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you this week to just give yourself and tell the Lord, I'm ready. Here I am, I'm ready. Now, Lord, what you got for me? Amen. And whenever you got exactly what you want from me, whenever you tell me, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever you. I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to live that way. You'd be surprised what God will do if you just listen to him, you see. Amen. So he encourages us in the faith. He said he's blind. And Saul said, you know what, he can't do too much to me. I'm just going to go. Or Ananias said, I'm just going to go. He's blind, you see. He can't hurt me. And then Ananias did have some concerns, legitimate concerns. In verse number 13, he said, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Now, you got to understand we're human beings. And Ananias was a human being. And he said, this man is going around, he's killing people. He's hurting people. And so he took those concerns and he made them known. And it's interesting to me, he didn't go around talking to other people about it and griping, complaining where God was sending him. He took his concerns unto the Lord. You see, this man has done a lot of evil. I mean, he's killing folk, he's hurting folk, and he's doing it to the saints of God. He's against people like me, God. And so, that in fact, in verse 14, it tells that's his mission. That was Paul's mission, to go around, to arrest people. That was the mission that he had in life. And so we see Ananias quite concerned about it, and he took those concerns unto the Lord. Let me encourage you to always do that. Take your concerns to the Lord. Talk to God about these things. Folks, you can talk to men and they're not going to be able to help you a whole lot. But you take them to God, he can help. Amen. Tell him your fears. Tell him if you're scared. Tell him the needs of your life. Amen. Don't be afraid to do that. It's okay. God knows it anyway. So it's okay, you see. Now in verse 15 he says, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He encouraged him and he spoke to him and he said, It's okay, Ananias. This is a special vessel. This is a person whom I have that's going to do a great work for me, basically what he was saying. I want to say to you, you and I don't know who we're dealing with. I've told you this before. Well, we don't know who we're dealing with. We don't know this week who God may send you to. No, it's not going to be the Apostle Paul. But you don't know what God's going to use in the life of that individual that he wants you to go and spend some time with or take the gospel to. You don't know on down the road what he's going to do for God. So we better get busy and do what God tells us to do and take the message. Amen? You see? And so he told him, and as soon as he had answered in verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way. When God told him what he wanted him to do, Ananias simply did it and he obeyed it. Amen. Now we've got to get back to obeying God. Amen. No matter what the problem is, no matter what it is, we've just got to get back to obeying God Almighty. Amen. So we find that God speaks there to Ananias in verse 15. He told him that he had a great work for the Apostle Paul. He had a work that he wanted him to do. And it was very important that Ananias go and to see him. In verse number 16, he even shared with Ananias the fact that he was going to suffer great things. Amen. Now, folks, listen. We've got to be willing to suffer a little bit. So it takes some suffering. We just got to do right. Mrs. Bowden, I was proud of you tonight. Thank you for just walking up here and showing what God had done for you. Thank you for not being a quitter. No, I'm serious about that. We've got so many quitters. They don't ever finish anything. They just quit. I mean, they'll do something for just a little while, and then it ain't long. They're done. They're quitters. But you're not a quitter. Thank you. Others around here are not quitters. By the way, young people, get your eyes on people who are not quitters. We've got a whole load of them around here that's just been going for God for years and years and years and years. They've just been walking with God. They're not quitters. Amen. Keep your eyes on them. Don't get your eyes on the quitters. Amen. They're not going to help you. But you get your eyes on some of these fellows around here and some of these ladies around here. You know, that's another thing. I just think I'll tell you. That's another thing. I am so proud, so thankful for the ladies of this church and their standard that they hold. You know, whether you young people know it or not, but you have around you a tremendous group of young ladies, not just young ladies, but ladies who sets forth a tremendous example in dress, in actions, who they are. Thank God for them. So don't you pay attention to these that don't want to hold to the right things. Just let them go their own way. Amen? You don't pay attention to them. You keep your eyes on the folk who's been doing it for years and are going to continue to do it. You know why they're going to continue to do it? Because it's in their heart. See, if it's not in your heart, you're not going to do much. You're not going to stick around very long. No, it's not in your heart. You're not going to do it. You're going to fall backwards. But if it's in your heart, you'll just keep doing it. And you've got a tremendous example of ladies throughout this congregation who's just been living for God, doing right, looking right, acting right for years and years, and they're just still doing it and are going to continue to do it. So get your eyes on them. Young men, you get your eyes on some of the men of this church who's loved God for years and years and years and years and years and has walked for God. You just watch them. No, I know your eyes are on Jesus. I know all that. But God, did you ever know why God puts examples before us? When we're young in the faith, God puts examples before us. And one of these days, you're going to do it no matter what happens, no matter what anybody else does, you're going to do it anyway. You're just going to walk for God, with God. But while you're growing up, while you're learning, you need people. You need individuals who will just stand for right. Amen? And in one of these days, you'll be established in the faith. You'll be established. You'll be doing it not because anybody else does it. You'll be doing it because it's right to do. You just keep on doing it. Amen? So that's the kind of man Ananias was. He was just a man who did right no matter what. Make any difference what other folk was going to do. He just did right. Amen. I'm proud of our young people, but I'm proud of our adults out here too. We got some godly people out here. Been walking with God for years and years and years, and they're going to continue to do it. Oh, yeah, yes, they are. They're going to continue to do it. You know why? Because it's down here. It's in their heart, you see. So we find here that God began to speak to Ananias, and he tells him that he'd chosen a very special vessel in the Apostle Paul. He was going to be the Apostle Paul, a very special vessel. He had a very wonderful work for him to do, and he was going to suffer a lot for the cause of Christ. There's always, you see, there's always battles to face, folk. You're going to face battles. You young people, you're going to face battles as you grow older. See, that's part of it. We adults, we've seen a lot of that. We've seen battles. We've had to face battles all of our life. That's all right. That's the way God does. He strengthens us through those battles. Amen? So don't be discouraged, you see. You're going to face battles, you see. As Apostle Paul was going to face battles, but he just kept busy. Ananias was a great man of God, but Paul, a great man of God, he just kept busy for God, kept doing whatever God said. Why? Because he was called of God to do it. Amen. You don't have to be called to be a preacher. Be called to be just an outstanding Christian for God. Just walk with the Lord, see, for the rest of your life. Now, I look at Apostle Paul sometimes, and I think, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but I want to get over on him for just a few moments. But the Apostle Paul is a good example of the sowing and reaping. Now, you ever thought about that or not? But the Apostle Paul is a good example. He persecuted the church of God beyond measure. I mean, he persecuted the church of God. And let me say to you, he also was persecuted and whipped beyond measure. A lot of sowing and reaping, you see. Over in 1 Timothy 1:13, he said of Paul, he said he was injurious in his treatment of others. That's before he got saved. And we know also he was shamefully treated himself. Amen? We know that he put Christians in jail and he was imprisoned himself. Amen? You see, he dragged people off to the authorities to be punished, and they done the same to him. Amen. City went from city to city chasing down Christians, and he was chased from city to city because of his faith. He who bound Christians was himself bound. Amen. See, man who approved the stoning of a man called Stephen was also stoned. Amen. He saw to it that Christians were put to death and the Apostle Paul was martyred. Amen. It's Christian life, folks. You understand Christian life is not an easy life? We in America are just spoiled brats. We are spoiled brats. All we want is an easy way of life. I want to tell you something. It wasn't easy for men like Paul. It wasn't easy for men like Ananias. It wasn't easy for our Lord. And I want to tell you, it's going to get worse for us also. But Ananias obeyed. Verse number 17, he said, "And Ananias went his way and entered into a house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." You see, he went to him, and I think it's interesting, he called him Brother Saul. Amen, amen. I like that. Brother Saul, if I call you Brother Bo, it's a good thing, it's the right thing. You're my brother in Christ. Amen. See, called him Brother Saul. Had never met him, but God had already told him, he's my fella. I'm going to use him. And so he called him Brother Saul. Amen. And he healed him, just like God had told him to. Done exactly. He obeyed what God said to do. We know that Ananias didn't do the healing. We know that. It was God done the healing. But he's the one in the instrument that God sent to heal. Amen. And then he was also filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me say to you, one of the great needs of all of us today is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God so God can use us, you see. And then, of course, in chapter 22, I'm going to go back over there in verse number 14 and 15, and he said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and should us hear the voice of his mouth. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to know the will of God. Let me say this, folks. We need God's will. We need to know what God's will is. You see, know the will of God. Know the will of God for you tomorrow. Go to bed tonight. Go to sleep tonight in the will of God. And get up in the will of God tomorrow and stay all day in the will of God, you see. Just keep yourself within the will of God. Not only that, he said, he's going to see that just one. He said, you're going to see him, you see. And he had seen him. He had already seen him there on the road of Damascus. And I want to say, we're going to see him one of these days. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. And he said, we're going to hear his voice. He said, you're going to hear his voice. I look forward to that day when we see his face and hear his voice. Amen. So we find Ananias just being one who just obeyed God, you see. And he was to be a witness. The Apostle Paul was to be a witness throughout the world, with the known world of that day, to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what did he do? Well, he baptized him. God told him to do. Did you know it was dangerous in those days to get baptized in the name of Jesus? There was a great danger, especially for people like Saul. He was a Jew. And he was out of the Sanhedrin. And it was a dangerous thing for him to accept Christ. I showed you that picture of that man, that woman this morning whose husband had left, who had left the Mohammed religion and accepted Christ. And they literally, I don't know whether I told you this or not, but they literally cut his throat and killed him because of his faith in Christ. It's dangerous to be a Christian. But we got to be a Christian. We got to show forth the truth of the gospel of Jesus. So he took him and he baptized him. And let me say to you, it took courage for Saul to get baptized, and it took courage for Ananias to baptize him. It takes courage to live the Christian faith. Amen. I'm asking you to step up. Learn from a man like Ananias. Step up to the plate and live for God this week. I challenge you from this pulpit. I challenge you to give yourself to God this week. And just simply say, God, what do you got for me? I'm ready. Whatever it is, I'm ready. Whatever you got for me, I'm ready. And say, just open the door and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Would you be willing to do that tonight? Would you be willing in your heart tonight, just say to the Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do tomorrow or tonight, whenever it is. I'll do what you want me to do. You just open the door for me. You tell me where to go, who to see, and what to do when I get there. And I'll do it. Would you be willing to do that tonight? Would you be willing to do that? We could make a difference in this community if we'd be willing to do that. Amen. I don't know what you're all thinking, but I'm saying to you, did you ever stop and ask yourself, why wouldn't I want to do that? Why in the world would I not want to give myself to God for tomorrow to do the work that God has for me to do? Why wouldn't I do that? See, we need to check our hearts, don't we? Did you ever think about what he's done for you? Did you ever think about the cross? What he's done for you? Dying there on the cross for you? Isn't it a little thing for him to ask of us to give ourselves to the work of the ministry, whatever it is God has for you. Amen. Let's be an Ananias this week. Let's learn, and let's be a man of God that's being able to be used of God. Let's be a lady that's being willing to be used of God this week. Amen. Challenge you to do that God can use you to his glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are, and thank you for the things that we can learn from Ananias. Help us to be a servant like him, Father, a ready servant, a servant filled with the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, going to do that which you want done. And I ask you to help us to commit our lives to you today for service in the future. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.